Feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edge it ever holds. Gillette's cavalcade of sports is on the air. From Ebbets Field, here in Brooklyn, Gillette presents the World Series. Afternoon, baseball fans everywhere. This is the old redhead, Red Barber, with Mel Allen, greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company as the New York Yankees and the Brooklyn Dodgers warm up for the fifth game in the state championship classic. Gillette, maker of world-famous Gillette razors, blades, and shaving creams, as leading events in various fields of sport the year round. Gillette also broadcasts and telecasts the major boxing match of the week every Friday night. This is a perfectly beautiful day from the standpoint of the weather. It couldn't be nicer. The temperature is right at 80 degrees, a completely clear, blue, sunny sky. The field is an apple pie shape, and the question now is what goes in this fifth game as the Dodgers are dormy. In other words, Brooklyn is two down with three games to go. The Yanks, as you know, lead three games to one in the best four out of seven, so this one has to be more seriously considered than any other that has come about. And for those of you who haven't looked in the little red book of baseball records or who are not quickly conversant, only twice in the entire history of the World Series, going back to 1903 when World Series as properly constituted began, has a team behind three games to one come on to win. In 1903, the Boston Red Sox did it in the first World Series. The last team to do it was the Pittsburgh Pirates against the Washington Nationals in 1925. So, there you have that. Now, about the pitchers. It is, as expected, Vic Rashi, the big, towering 21-game winner, who is coming back for a second shot. Rashi, who has been charged with the sole Yankee defeat. So, Rashi is going to get another opportunity this afternoon. Vic Rashi, and as Casey Stengel smilingly says, Rashi is starting, and Joe Page is ready in the bullpen. For the Dodgers, it is the unpredictable right-hander, Rex Barney, who can be as good as any pitcher and can be as wild as any. You think of the little girl in Longfellow's poem when you think about Barney. And to forecast how he'll pitch, well, you don't know. He can be very, very good, or, in other words, good enough as a no-hitter, witnesses for itself 2 years ago. And Barney, of course, in the 1947 series, threw a very hard ball, was quite wild, and some of the big moments came in some of his strikeouts, especially one of DiMaggio with the bases loaded. In fact, he did that twice. So it is Barney going for Brooklyn. This is his first appearance in this World Series. He was in the bullpen 2 days, but he never threw in the bullpen at all, so as far as rest is concerned, he's completely rested. Manager Shotton, before deftly coming down to Barney, had a little talk with Preacher O and wanted to know if by any chance the thin left-hander who pitched the 1-0 win in game two thought that he should attempt this one today. And Rowe said no, he didn't think he had enough rest. Rowe, during the regular season, never pitched with less than 5 days rest, sometimes seven. He's quite slender of physique and quite frail. But said Mr. Rowe, and he doesn't bat an eyelash, I'll pitch tomorrow. The lineups will be no surprise to you, I don't think. The teams are shaken down. So here they are. For the Yankees, as they go into game five, it is Rizzuto again leading off and playing a magnificent game at shortstop. Tommy Henrich, living up to every letter in the phrase that has been lovingly bestowed upon him in recent years, old reliable. Tommy Henrich at first base. Yogi Berra is catching. He says his hand is even sore than it has been, but he wouldn't get out of there unless six wild horses yanked him away from the plate. And I don't see any horses in the ballpark today. There's no room for anybody but ticket holders. Joe DiMaggio, and he, of course, is one of the most heartwarming stories in the series, one of baseball's all-time great players who has been plagued this year. First with that sore heel, and then virus pneumonia that bedded him, yet he was able to come off of his crutches at one time and spark-plugged the Yankees to a win against the Red Sox when they needed it, then came out of a hospital and spark-plugged the Yankees in their last two games, which got them into the series. And DiMaggio so far has had one scratch single. He has struck out five times. He has fallen down twice in center field. DiMaggio in center. Perhaps the human interest story that's been most overlooked. This great ball player who is not having a great series. Now we have Tommy Brown, who was the batter yesterday with a double and a triple. Knocked in three runs, the winning runs. Brown at third. Woodling is in left field for New York. Mapes is in right field. His double sliced in the left field corner. Got in the first couple of Yankee runs and got them started yesterday as they won 6-4. Coleman, who's played a fine game at second base. And Vic Rashi coming back for his second start. Now for the Dodgers. The batting order again goes with captain and shortstop Pee Wee Reese leading off. With a right-hander going for New York, man, the shot goes to his left-hand hitters, which means third baseman Johnny Jorgensen is hitting number two. Jorgensen at third, batting second. Snider in center field, batting third. Robinson at second base, hitting fourth. Batting fifth, and in right field is Gene Hermansky. Carl Perello is still out with that injured right groin. He just can't go. Hodges at first base is hitting sixth. Marvin Rackley, who came out of the second game of the World Series at the stadium, if you'll recall, with a full muscle in his back, is a surprise nomination. Manager Shotten at noon, or an hour and 50 minutes ago, here in New York, thought that Olmo would be a starting left fielder. But Rackley apparently told him that he was all right, and manager Shotten has changed and is going with Rackley in left field. Roy Campanella is catching. And Campanella, yesterday, I think impressed every baseball man in this ballpark with the fineness of his receivership. His throwing, the fact that he was in there digging pitches out of the dirt, that he was taking them out of the air, just about all that you could ask a catcher to do, he did. Campanella catching, and Rex Barney is the pitcher. And for the umpires, we will have the working rotation that we had in game one of the series when it opened at the stadium. That means that Big Cal Hubbard will be back of home plate of the American League staff. Beans Ridden of the National League staff will be at first. Ridden is making this series his swan song. He's been in the major leagues 24 years. His health has not been too good. He was out several times during the pennant campaign with illness. He is quite light, about 15 pounds off weight, and he figures that he's going back to his adopted state of California and call it a day as far as umpiring goes as soon as this series is over. He's had a great career, and everyone in baseball is deeply indebted to a man who has given so much of himself with such honor and such judicial demean. Art Passarella, hustling young umpire of the American League, will be at second. Lou Jorda, a veteran, will be at third base from the National League staff. In the left field corner will be George Barr. In the right of the National League, and in the right field corner, will be Ed Hurley of the American League. But I repeat again that the weather is ideal. You could not have a finer day for a baseball game. It is just hot enough, and yet it is not too hot. And we'll have to keep a close eye on the official timepiece, our Longines watch, to be sure that this ball game does not get underway before the New York State Sunday Law, which says that no athletic event, baseball or otherwise, can begin before 2 o'clock. In fact, with the 1916 Brooklyn Dodger team here as guests of President Branch Rickey of the Brooklyn Ball Club, there's been a great deal of talk in which these players used to remark that back in 1916 there were no Sunday games that they played while the team was at home. The late mayor of New York, when he was in the House of Representatives at Auburn in New York, Jimmy Walker, was the father of the Sunday sports law. He got the law through, and the law stipulated that no sporting event could begin on Sunday afternoons in the state of New York before 2 o'clock. Therefore, all Sunday games are advertised at 2:05. And now, as the umpires walk up to home plate, Manager Stengel comes out with the Yankee batting order. Captain Reese comes up with the Brooklyn batting order. Here is an important message to every one of you veterans listening in to the World Series broadcast today. To you veterans, if you have held National Service Life Insurance for 3 months or more on a policy taken out before the end of 1947, that's on a policy taken out before the end of 1947, you are eligible for a special dividend. The amounts will vary, but many veterans will receive as much as $300. Obtain your application from any post office. Fill it out and mail it promptly to the Veterans Administration. Now, don't fill out more than one application, and don't write to the Veterans Administration about your application. Checks will start going out after the first of next year. Now in that final lull before the storm, while things are still quiet, which they rarely are at Ebbets Field, we'll pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Hear the World Series exclusively over WOR. See it on WOR TV, Channel 9, WOR and WOR FM, New York.
The meeting at home plate, six gentlemen in their blue serges, and two in what is called in the trade monkey suits. Reese handing over his batting cards. Casey Stengel handing over his. Each team representative comes up to home plate with three batting cards, and they must be identical. One set of cards, that's one from each team, is kept by the plate umpire. Then each team representative keeps his own batting card and one of the other fellas. So they have to be made out in triplicate. Rex Barney, who will start for Brooklyn and will take the mound sooner than will Rashi of the invading Yankees. Barney has finished his warming up and has gone into the dugout, sitting down for a last-minute blow. And Rashi is just polishing off. He's just throwing sort of loosely back and forth, just getting the feel in his arm just right. There's a final refinement going on at home plate over ground rules. Big Cal Hubbard, who back at the plate today will act as the umpire-in-chief, is straightening out something to make certain that Reese and Stengel understand. Of course, anything about this ballpark, and Stengel doesn't understand, he never will. He was entered as a player. In fact, he played on the first Brooklyn team that ever performed in this park. It was an exhibition game against the Yankees just before the season opened in 1913. Reese and Hubbard going over some point of ground rules, and Pee-wee's pointing out towards center field. Just what it is, I don't know. It's not very serious because George Barr grins and walks away. Reese is just needling somebody, and Stengel grins. And by the way, Casey Stengel was very pleased to be honored by the folks from Oakland, California. Casey, you know, managed Oakland to a championship last year in the Pacific Coast League. And before the ball game began, City Commissioner Frank J. Yule of Oakland presented a proclamation from the City Commission commending Stengel for the fine job that he's done in managing the Yankees to the American League pennant this year. So, the Dodgers are calm. The Yankees are quietly and serenely confident. The umpires are now scattered to their six defensive posts. One lone groundkeeper is finishing off a smooth place where Rashi was last warming up. Now, no one is on the field but the umpires, and now the Dodgers take the field, and the battle will be joined. So, Brooklyn goes to the field. Manager Shatton told his ball club, reminded them that they did everything the hard way all season long, that in important series after important series, especially with the Cardinals, the Dodgers would inevitably lose the opening game of the series and then have to come back to take the next two to keep going. And Casey Stengel, of course, doesn't have to say anything. He just starts rashy and the ball game plays. Now, in a moment, we'll have the national anthem. It's a minute after 2 o'clock. The announcement is made that Miss Gladys Gooding will play and sing the Star Spangled Banner. Thank you. the preliminary words have been written and have been spoken. It is now a time for the actual playing performances on the playing field and the play-by-play words of Mel Allen as we send you Game 5. And Gillette is very pleased to have this in its cavalcade of sports. Mel, let me say again while you can hear it, it's great to work with a major league broadcaster, and here you are.
Hello there, everybody. That goes double with me, Red. This program comes to you by authority of the Commissioner of Baseball. It's intended only for the private use of our audience. Any publication or reproduction of this program and commercial use of the program is prohibited. Roy Campanella's throw down to Jackie Robinson at second base. The ball whipped back around the infield and comes to rest in the glove of Rex Barney, who performed in the 1947 World Series with the Dodgers. In three games, he went 8 1/3 innings. I checked that he went 6 2/3 innings. Lost one game, did not win any, as Speck Shea beat him 2-1 in the fifth game of the 1947 setup. And so the right-hander, young right-hander, 23 years of age, for the Dodgers, starts the windup, pitching to Phil Rizzuto, and the first pitch is outside for ball one. Rex Barney from Omaha, Nebraska. I called him 23. I should have said 24. He'll be 25 on December the 19th. In comes the delivery. Rizzuto takes outside again for ball two. Two balls, no strikes. The Scooter has a batting average in the series of 200. He's had three hits and 15 times at bat. All singles. Johnny Jorgensen's in close at third in the event of the bunt. Pee Wee Reese over toward the third base hole. Barney delivers outside again for ball three. And now Johnny Jorgensen moves over from third base out to the mound to talk to Barney. And Carl Erskine sticks his head out of the Dodger dugout, starts to go down to the bullpen, is immediately called back for a moment. Now he's taking the walk down to the Brooklyn bullpen. He's trotting down now. You've got Jorgensen third, Reese short, Robinson second, Hodges first. Rackley left, Snyder center, Hermansky right, Campanella catching, Rex Barney pitching, three balls, no strikes to Rizzuto, and it's outside and low, ball four, and the Scooter is on. Jackie Robinson trots over from second base now to talk to Barney. Tommy Henrich steps in. He's had four hits and 15 times at bat in the series for a .267 average. There have not been too many robust hitters in the series, it being predominantly a pitcher's classic this year, although yesterday the boys sort of broke loose a little. Outfield around toward right for Henrich, stands deep in the batter's box, in close to the plate. The pitch inside for a ball is a curve. Cal Hubbard almost went up with a hand. He was watching that one very closely. The ball broke, almost had the inside edge, but did not quite get it. You've got Jorgensen about 10 feet off the third baseline in on the edge of the infield grass with Reese three strides to the left, the second in halfway. Now the pitch, and Henrich takes outside for ball two, and Rex Barney is starting out in very wild fashion. Time is called as Roy Campanella goes to the mound and Captain Pee Wee Reese comes in from short, and there's action about to begin in the Dodger bullpen. A little conference around the mound, trying to settle Barney down. Reese goes back to short. Campanella comes back to the plate. Milton Stock pokes his head out of the Dodger dugout to see that action is going on in the bullpen. Rex Barney all set to pitch 2-0 to Tommy Henrich. Here it is, and it's in there for a call strike. A throw down to first. Rizzuto back. That's the first strike that Barney's gotten in seven pitches. Jack Banta, a right-hander, throwing the bullpen. 2-1 the count on Henrich. Jorgensen is backed up from the edge of the infield grass, not looking for the bunt. Barney ready, throws. Henrich takes low, ball three, 3-1. The outfield around toward right. Jackie Robinson's halfway between first and second and about three steps in from the edge of the outfield grass with Gil Hodges holding against Rizzuto. Henrich has a look at Frank Rossetti coaching at third for any sign. Bill Dickey coaching at first. Rizzuto might be off and running with this pitch in the event Casey tries to decide to put on the hit and run. There goes Phil. The pitch is low inside. Ball four. Henrich walks. Rizzuto holds up, eases into second. And now coming up is Yogi Berra. Berra has had one out of 11 in the series in the three games in which he's participated. And thus you have almost a reproduction of the first inning of yesterday with the first two Yankees getting on base. Only on yesterday, they were on first and third. Rizzuto moving to third on Henrik's single. And then came the play on which Berra hit into the unusual double play. The retired Rizzuto, who was on third, and Henrik, who had rounded second. Yogi squares away. Jorgensen in on the edge of the infield grass. 10 feet off third. Rizzuto moves off second. Henrik off first. Here's the pitch. Yogi takes inside. Ball one. He bluffed a bunt. Jack Banta, angular right-hander, throwing in the bullpen for Brooklyn. Outfield for Berra, round toward right. Gil Hodges has moved into the edge of the infield grass, looking for the bunt, though he hasn't charged. Neither has Jorgensen, who will try to anchor at third if he can to let Barney handle the bunt if Yogi is bunting. Runners lead away. Here's the pitch. Yogi shortens up, takes a strike. And Campanella started to throw down to second as Reese broke for the bag, but he didn't throw. He cocked his arm, but he didn't let the ball loose. One ball, one strike. So the situation is boiling here in the first inning. This is a key man as Rex Barney is trying to settle down, has worked the count to one and one. Rizzuto has a short lead off second. Henrik off first. Now Hodges is in behind Henrik. He's not looking for the bunt. Here's the pitch. Berra swings at a curve and misses. Strike two. He went for a bad pitch that was low inside. One and two the count on Yogi. Rex Barney, who walked the first two men, Rizzuto and Henrik, now ahead of the next man, Berra, the count of one and two. And, of course, Hodges is halfway back at first now, definitely not looking for any bunt. Two strikes on the batter. Reese halfway at short, three strikes to the left of the bag. The stretch, the pitch, swung on, grounded foul down behind the bag at first and behind Bill Dickey and into the Dodger bullpen. Ball retrieved along the right field line by the alternate umpire, Ed Hurley of the American League. George Barr of the National League station down the left field line. You've got Rackley in left, Snyder in center, Hermansky in right. That's the Dodger outfield today. They're playing Barrett to pull. Barney gets his sign from Campanella. Now he takes his stretch. Rizzuto has his lead off second. Henrik off first. Here's the pitch, and Barra takes low into the dirt, and the ball is nicely blocked by Campanella. Keep it from being a wild pitch, and the count is 2-2. Barney has a world of stuff, but he, like the Yankees' Tommy Byrne, will have difficulty controlling it. And when they can have their control down pretty well, they're tough to handle. Not easy to hit, in other words. Two balls, two strikes. Top of the first inning, Rizzuto on second. Henrik on first. Reese trying to slip in behind Rizzuto, now he backs away. Here's your pitch, and it's inside for ball three. Full count on Yogi, 3-2. That pitch was very close to the inside corner. Possibly could have had it, but probably was below the knees. Or at least just missed it. Full count now on Berra. Three balls, two strikes, nobody out. Rizzuto on second. Henrik on first. And young Rex Barney getting ready for an important pitch. They're all important in a World Series, but particularly is it important at this moment. There's Reese as it going down to second, trying to pick off play, and the ball's off Reese's glove, and he tumbles over the umpire Passarella. And going to third is Rizzuto on to second, Henrik, and the ball is relayed into the plate by center fielder Duke Snyder on a peculiar play. As they attempted the pickoff, Barney whirled through to Reese. Rizzuto was getting back to the bag. The ball was high. Reese went up for the ball, and as he twisted around, Art Passarella, the umpire, is there to call the play, and Reese tumbled over him and could not get up off the ground, and there was the shortstop of the Dodgers, and Art Passarella both on the ground, and the Snyder racing in to back up and keep Rizzuto from scoring. So it is an error charged to Barney on the throw, enabling Rizzuto to go to third and Henrik to second. So you have runners on second and third, 3-2 on Berra, and now Barney will take the full windup. Around comes the right arm, the pitch, and Berra swings and grounds it foul off to the right of the plate. The ball skips up into the box just to the right of the commissioner's box. Souvenir for a World Series fan. Full count then on Berra. Barney trying to help himself out of the jam with that pickoff play, but it didn't work and resulted in an error charge to him, putting two men in scoring position, nobody down. And the 3-2 pitch on its way, and Berra swings and misses. Strike three. How about Barney strikes out Barra. And now here comes Joe DiMaggio. Joe has had one out of 14 in the series. As Red told you, the story of Joe DiMaggio is one that hasn't been told too much in this series. He hasn't had a very good series for a great star. But then one of the reasons perhaps that not too much has been said about Joe's failure to hit is the fact that he got out of a sick bed to finish the last two games of the year and is still not well. And here he is, Rex Barney facing the Clipper. And the pitch. High, ball one. And the infield on the right side is in, the left side deep, as the Dodgers play it in a split-up defensive situation. That is to say, Jorgensen is halfway back at third, 3-4 feet off the line. Reese deep at short over toward the gap, but there is Jackie Robinson on the edge of the infield grass, and Hodges just a step or two away from the edge of the infield grass. DeMadge swings and sends a long drive to deep center field. There's Snyder racing way back toward the wall. He leaps up and grabs it. Tagging up and scoring after the catch is Rizzuto, and racing to third after the catch is Henrik, as Duke Snyder leaped up against the deep center field wall to 393-foot sign to haul in the drive. DiMaggio gets a hand as he comes into the Yankee dugout, and Casey Stengel pops his head out and claps his hands and says, "Nice going, Joe." And Duke Snyder made a sensational catch as he went all the way back to the deep center field wall and leaped and caught the ball above his head. And now here's Bobby Brown with two down, one run in, 1-0, New York. Henrik on third, the pitch to Bobby, in there for a call strike. That's about as good a ball as DiMaggio has hit in the series. And had he been able to pull it just a little bit, it would have been up into the seats. But it's almost into dead center field. Bobby Brown, left-hand hitter, chokes that bat. Barney throws. Bobby swings and hits one right back through the middle. Out of a second in the center for a base hit. Henrik comes in to score. Up for the ball is Snyder. Off the grass, throws on into Robinson. And the Yankees lead 2-0 as Bobby Brown continues his spectacular World Series hitting. 3-for-3 in 1947. And he has had in this series 3-for-8. Now 4-for-9 with that base hit. So a total of 7 out of 12 in World Series competition for Bobby Brown. And that's Bobby's fourth RBI in the series, and he leads everybody in that respect. Now here's Gene Woodling, left-hand hitter. The delivery, inside the knees, ball one. 2-0, favor the Yankees. And to refer to a situation that we always do, it's a manager's headache. Those bases on balls. That started the Yankees off in this inning. Barney stretches, checks his runner, the pitch. Right in there for a call strike, a throw down to first, not in time. Brown sliding back in. Hodges not bothering to tag Bobby because the throw's a little late. Gene Woodling the batter. Cliff Mapes on deck, two runs in, top of the first inning. Barney again ready, has a look. Here's the pitch. Curve, and is just outside for a ball. 2-1. Banta still continuing to limber up in the bullpen, not throwing too hard now. He's almost ready in the event he's needed. Barney seems to be settling down a bit. There's a quick throw to first. Back in time is Bobby Brown. Quick move over. When I said Barney seems to be settling down a bit, insofar as his wildness is concerned. The right-hander throws. The pitch is swung on, foul tipped, skips off mid of Campanella into the chest protector, in behind it of Cal Hubbard. You know, in the American League, the umpires wear the chest protector outside their jacket. In the National League, inside. Cal Hubbard working his second turn behind the plate in this series. He opened it up at the stadium. Two balls, two strikes, two outs, two in. 2-0 New York, top of the first inning. Outfield around toward right for Woodling. Stands in close to the plate. Barney throws. The pitch is inside. Ball three, 3-2. Roy Campanella, who has caught a beautiful series, taking his time for returning that ball to Barney. The Yankees have all remarked about what a swell backstop Campanella is. How swell he can throw and how he keeps all the base runners on their toes. And sometimes on their stomachs. The pitch is inside as Brown was running on the 3-2 pitch with two outs. It's ball four. Woodling walks. Third pass given up in this inning by Barney. And now coming to bat is Cliff Mapes. Mapes, who's had one out of 7 in the series. Left-hand hitter. Brown on second, Woodling on first. Two runs in. Two men out. Infield is shaded around toward first. Rex Barney delivers. Mapes takes curve over for a call strike. Came in with a fastball motion and delivered a slow curve with it. Jorgensen, the third baseman, is halfway back, 6-8 feet off the line. Reese over toward second. He's about three strides to the left of the bag. Brown moves off second. Woodling off first. Here's your pitch. Swung on and foul tip for strike two. Ball skips out of the mitt of Campanella. Marv Rackley is over toward left center. Duke Snyder into right center. And Gene Hermansky is shading right center more than he would be the right field line. Not looking for Mapes to pull too sharply. Runners move away from first and second base is the pitch. And it's inside to Mapes. Right around the letters for ball one. One and two. Ball players are not prone to take too much of a toehold against a pitcher who is inclined to be a bit wild, as is Barney, or as is Tommy Byrne of the Yankees when he's working. The 1-2 pitch. It's just outside for ball two. Curve. Mighty close. Barney figured he might have had the strike on that one. Two balls, two strikes, two outs, two in, two on. Rex walks around the mound. Now he comes back on. Campanella gives him the sign and sets up the target. Brown moves off second, Woodling off first. Hodges very deep at first. The stretch, the pitch. Swung on, it's a high foul going out of play to the left of the plate and out of the ballpark. The wind seems to be blowing from right out toward left. So that at the present time, any ball hit up into the air in the direction of left field would be aided by the wind. Held up, hit out into right field to some extent. Once again, Barney set, checks his two runners, leading off first and second. The pitch, curve, and it's inside for ball three. Three and two. Two pitches that Barney has delivered. Two of the pitches that Barney has delivered to Mapes have been very close. Full count. Three balls, two strikes, two outs. Reese came in a few steps, hollered something to Barney. Brown on second, Woodling on first. Will be off and running with this pitch. There being two down and three and two on the hitter. Stretch by Barney. There go the runners. The pitch is strike three. Called a curve that broke over. For the Yankees, then, two runs. One hit. No errors for the Dodgers. Two Yankees left on. One error for the Dodgers as we double-check. That was on Barney's attempted pickoff at second when he threw the ball over Reese's head. Two runs, one hit, one error, and two men left on. And the score at the end of the first half of the first inning, Yankees 2, Dodgers nothing. Draw your chairs up close, fans, while I put you next to the hottest razor buy you ever heard about. It's the sensational Gillette Super Speed Razor set that's keeping clerks on the hop and sales zooming in stores all over the country. A, you get a fine precision-made Gillette one-piece razor that changes blades instantly and skims off whiskers easy as pie. B, you get a handy Gillette dispenser holding 10 factory-sharp Gillette blue blades with the longest-lasting edges ever produced. C, you get a handsome modern styrene travel case that's an eye-opener for convenience and serviceability. Yes, and get this. All three, razor, dispenser, and styrene case, a big $1.75 value, are yours for just $1. Better hurry. Retail stocks are getting low. Ask for the World Series Special, the modern Gillette Super Speed Razor Set, at your nearest store soon. Quick. Last half of the first inning. Vic Grashey goes to the mound for the Yankees, making his second start of the series and working with 2 days' rest. Defeated in the second game of the World Series, 1-0 by the Dodgers and Preacher Row. As Rashi gave up 7 hits and 1 run and lost the ball game 1-0. The right-hander pitching to Pee Wee Reese, right-hand batter, throws and it's right in there for a called strike. The official scorer has informed us that both runs for the Yankees were earned in the first inning. Here's a pitch, swung on, hit sharply short, one hop. Rizzuto grabs it, throws over to Henrik in time, there's one away. Reese swung at a curveball, hit it solidly, but right at Rizzuto on one hop, and Phil retired him. Johnny Jorgensen steps in now. Reese had had four hits and 14 times at bat in the series for a .286 average. Johnny Jorgensen, in three games, has had two out of eight. Left-hand hitter, Rashi delivers, fastball in there for a call strike. Bobby Brown's in close at third. Rizzuto's over toward second base, about two strides to the left of the bag as we look out onto the field. Jerry Coleman halfway between first and second, back on the edge of the outfield grass, and Henrik near the line. Vic Rashi getting his sign now. Taking a little time. Now he goes to work, into the windup. Brown comes the right arm. The pitch is swung on, a grounder hit the third. Bobby Brown is left up with it. Fires across to Henrik in time, and they're two away. Two up and two down. And now here's Duke Snider. The Duke, one of the hitting disappointments in the series for the Dodgers. He's had for one hit and 16 times at bat. But still a fellow that Bert Schotten's got all the confidence in the world in, and rightfully so, because when he connects, he can send them. Vic Rashi's first pitch to the Duke, left-hand hitter, in there for a call strike, slow curve, broke over just below the shoulders. Robinson, or rather Snider, is the kind of a guy who can break up a ball game for you at any given moment. Robinson is on deck. Here's your pitch, outside, ball one, one and one. They play the Duke around toward right. Brown's in fairly close at third, giving the bag about a 10-foot berth. Rizzuto about a stride to the left of second. The 1-1 pitch on its way. The left-hand batter cuts and misses at a curve that broke off into the dirt and skipped in behind Barra. 1-2 the count. Duke a little over-anxious. Jackie Robinson's on deck. Jerry Coleman, the second baseman, kicking at the dirt. He's back on the edge of the outfield grass and at a point halfway between first and second bases with Henrik deep 3 feet off the first baseline. Milton Stock coaching at third, Jake Pittler at first for the Dodgers. Now the 1-2 pitch on its way from Rashi to Snider. Swung on and missed. Strike three, and he's out of there. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. And Snider goes down striking out for the sixth time in the series. DiMaggio had struck out five times, as had Snider before the start of today's game. So the two center fielders were both running parallel courses. And now the Dodgers Symphony Band are serenading one of the owners of the Dodgers, Walter O'Malley, evidently his birthday, as they are playing Happy Birthday. And as they conclude, we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Hear the World Series exclusively over WOR. See it on WOR TV, Channel 9, WOR and WOR FM, New York.
Going into the top of the second inning, Jerry Coleman, Vic Rashi, and then Phil Rizzuto will be coming up for the Yankees. It's 2-0 New York, the end of the first inning of play. Spider Jorgensen comes in to say something to Rex Barney. Crowd sitting back rather quiet at the moment. A lot of folks out here today who were unable to get here during the weekdays. A lot of working people can't get out to the ball games except on Sunday. Notice Lou Boudreau, skipper of the Indians, who won last year out here. There's a pitch right in there for a call strike as Barney cut loose with a fastball right over. Jerry Coleman, right-hand hitter. He's had 3 out of 15 in the series and has been playing a fine defensive game. Chokes that bat 3 inches or so in fairly close to the plate. Open stance, knees bent, leans from the waist a bit. Barney throws, fastball swung on, hit high up into the air in the short left. Reese goes out, waves Rackley off, Pee-wee under it, and he makes the catch about 15 feet off the left field line, about 25 feet behind third base. So Coleman pops out to Reese in short left. And now coming up is Vic Rashi. Vic bats him right-handed, outfield straight away. Infield shaded round toward third just a bit. And in a normal setup, here's the pitch. Just outside, ball one, fastball. Yanks two, Dodgers nothing. Second inning. Bill Rizzuto's in the batter's circle. Rex Barney, the right-hander, throws. Fastball, and it's outside for ball two to Rashi. Two nothing count. Barney aims this one over. It's in there for a call strike. Fastball. Two balls, one strike. Now the delivery to Bick is inside and a little high, just around the shoulders. 3-1 the count. Barney gets his sign from Campanella, getting ready to work. Rashi stands way away from the plate. The 3-1 pitch. Right over for call strike two. Barney has got a good fastball, really alive. I recall 2 years ago in the World Series when Billy Southworth came up here talking to Red and to me, and he said, there's a fella I'd like to have on my ball club. He's got a lot of stuff. Here's your pitch. Strike. No, did he? You know, it's ball four. Hubbard started to go up with a hand, and he indicated as the crowd yells that he was merely pointing down to first base. The only way that we have of determining whether an umpire calls a strike or not is when he goes up with the right hand. And Hubbard did go up with the right hand, but he indicated again after that, that's the reason we called it the third strike, as the crowd yelled, he said, with his gesture, he raised his hand up and pointed to first base. He merely meant for him to go on down. So it was ball four. That's the fourth walk given up by Barney. Time is called here for a moment. A little conference at the mound. Reese, Robinson, Barney, and Campanella. While Vic Rashi adjusted his windbreaker. Now Rizzuto, who walked in the first inning and scored the first Yankee run, awaits the pitch. He's a right-hand hitter. It's on its way, and it's outside. Ball one. Now Campanella turns and says something to Hubbard. Merely discussing the situation a bit. Barney figures some of those pitches that were close should have been called strikes on some of these batters. Gil Hodges walked over a few paces from first. Now we're ready to continue. One out, one on, top of the second inning, 2-0 New York. Barney throws, Rizzuto takes a strike call, fastball in there. One ball, one strike, one out. Bill down on the end of the bat a bit. Here's your pitch. It's Bunny down toward first. Hodges comes in, picks the ball up, and tags Phil out on the line as Rashi goes to second. Now, Phil will be credited with a sacrifice, though that was not actually his intention. He was bunting to get on with one out. He was hoping to bunt it to the right of the mound to make Robinson come in and field it, and Hodges get off the bag so that he could beat it out, but he bunted it right toward Gill. And the Dodger first baseman picked it up and retired Rizzuto unassisted. However, since it moved Rashi down to second, it must be scored as a sacrifice, so that was not the intent. Now here's Tommy Henrick. At least that was not the sole intent. Frank Grissetti, coaching there at third, hollering down to Rashi. He's watching Reese and Robinson for Vic as Vic watches Barney. Barney has the stretch. Here's the pitch, and Henrick swings and sends a ground ball to backhanded nicely by Hodges. Flips to Barney, covering for the out, and a beautiful play. Hodges backhanded that ball, which was hit into the hole between first and second, took a possible base hit away from Henrick, flipped to Barney covering for the out. No runs for New York, no hits, no Dodger errors, one left on for the Yankees. Fans, Earl Torgerson, first baseman for the Boston Braves, is here watching the game with us. Earl, come in and say a few words to the folks.
About Gillette Blue Blade?
Can you name a better kind?
You have me there, Mel. As far as I'm concerned, Gillette Blue Blades are absolutely top.
Easy shaving?
Not only that, but consistently good. You never find one that scrapes or pulls.
Fans, buy Gillette Blue Blades. And you'll go along with Earl Torgerson, I'm sure. Earl, have you enjoyed the series thus far?
Not very well. I'm too much of a Dodger fan, Mel. That National League. I'm rooting for that National League.
Well, I can appreciate that. Rex Barney, you batted against him a lot of times, haven't you?
Yeah, he has a world of natural ability. Should be a great pitcher.
Well, getting that control down, of course, is his biggest problem, and he seems to be settling down just a little bit.
Yeah, I hope he does.
Earl, how's your hand? I know
it's
you
getting along all right, Mel. It's a little stronger now. It's feeling better.
You expect by the time spring training rolls around to be bitten ready again to go with the Boston Braves?
I hope so, Mel.
Well, much obliged to you, Earl.
All right, thank you very much.
Earl Torgerson dropping in to visit with us for a little while. And now we're ready for the last half of the second inning. Jackie Robinson leads off for the Dodgers. Robinson's had 2 out of 12 in the series. He'll be followed by Hermansky and Hodges. Vic Brashy, the right hand, into the windup throws. Robinson takes outside for a ball as he bluffed a bunt. Brought Brown charging in from third. Henrik is deep at first, and Jackie looks as if he's going to try to shove one out towards second. Jerry Coleman's only 2 strides to the right of second. Henrik near first, a lot of room in there. Here's your pitch. Swung on, lined right to Coleman as he leaps and grabs it. Jackie Robinson's blazing liner was hit just above Coleman's head, but it sank. It was a sinking liner and sank off to his left, and Coleman speared it glove-handed for a brilliant play, robbing Jackie Robinson of a base hit. Now here's Gene Hermansky, left-hand hitter. Rashy throws. Gene takes a strike over the outside corner as a fastball. Bobby Brown's in close at third near the line. Rizzuto over toward second base. Coleman halfway between first and second and deep. Henrik deep near the line. The outfield shaded around toward right. 2-0 New York, last half of the second inning. Vic Rashy goes to work. In comes the pitch. Gene Hermansky takes high for a ball, and the count is evened up now at 1-1. Jake Pittler, as usual, walking up and down, coaching there at first. Gil Hodges on deck, going through his usual batting, preceding his batting motions, adjusting his cap. Here's the pitch, and it's inside to Hermansky for ball two, 2-1. Barra turns and asks Hubbard where the ball was. It was close. 2 balls, 1 strike. Jerry Coleman just went over and took Jackie Robinson's glove, which was nearby, and tossed a little further back out on the grass in right field so it wouldn't be in his way. Now your 2-1 pitch. Swung on, popped foul off to the left of the plate and out of play. Ball going into the upper deck. And you've got a 2-2 count on Gene. Rashy fumbling around with the rosin bag. Has a new ball to work with. Working with 2 days' rest, he's taking his time. In talking with fellows like Rogers Hornsby, for example, and other old-time baseball greats, they say that pitching with 2 days' rest is not so rough, really. The 2-2 pitch. Curve is swung on, drilled out in the right center field. There's Mapes racing over, and he takes it for the out. Hermansky didn't get a good cut at that ball. If he'd have hit it solidly, he'd have gone a lot further. Hornsby said that most of it's in a pitcher's mind. And he referred back to the old days when the pitchers used to work very frequently with very little rest. Gil Hodges, right-hand hitter, awaits the delivery from Rashy. It's fastball over for a call strike. Two to nothing, favor of New York. Last of the second inning, two down, nobody on. Hodges the batter, Marv Rackley on deck. Outfield toward left. Rashy throws, fastball misses the outside corner this time. The count is evened up at 1-1. Big Gil, born from Petersburg, Indiana, who made the change from a catcher to a first baseman and has developed amazingly rapidly and shows promise of becoming a very outstanding first baseman if he already hasn't done so. 1 ball, 1 strike, the count on him. Rashy into the windup. In comes the pitch. Swung on, hit sharply out to short. Rizzuto is right up with the ball. Fires the long way to Henrik, and it's in time for the out. Scooter showed a flash of his brilliance that has put him into contention for the Most Valuable Player Award in the American League this year as he raced to his right, took that ball deep over toward third and threw Hodges out. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on, and the score at the end of two innings, 2-0 in favor of the Yankees, with the Yankees owning the only hit in the ball game thus far. Now, as we move to the third, the Yanks will come up with Berra, DiMaggio, and Brown. It was good to see Ty Cobb out here and chat with him before the ball game. And he is among the most excited of all the fans here at this World Series. And in a measure, you wouldn't think that there was a fellow who went through World Series and a lot of the roughest and toughest ball games imaginable, a great competitor, and played baseball for so many years, over 20, that you would figure that he'd take all this in stride. But he's one of the most excited fans out here.